The latest in a long series of mass casualty shootings across America occurred on September 16th when accused gunman Aaron Alexis, a technology contractor for the U.S. government with security clearance, killed 12 people in a bloody rampage at Washington, D.C.'s Navy Yard before being shot and killed himself. Alexis, who had a history of violence and exhibited signs of mental illness, reportedly test-fired an AR-15 military-style assault rifle at a Virginia gun store the week before the massacre, but was prevented from buying one because he didn't live in state. Alexis instead purchased an 870 Remington pump-action shotgun that was used to commit the mass murder. According to columnist David Sirota, gun violence now claims 87 American lives each day and has killed or wounded almost 1 million Americans between 2001 and 2010. In historical terms, he states, more people have died from gun violence in America since 1968 than have died in all U.S. wars combined. Your reporter spoke with Ladd Everett, director of communications with the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. He talks about his group's reaction to the mass shooting at the Navy Yard in Washington and continuing nationwide efforts since last year's Newtown, Connecticut school massacre to mandate universal background checks for all gun buyers and pass laws banning military-style assault rifles and high-capacity ammunition magazines.
I think the one recurring element of many of these tragedies that's so disturbing is that so many of the mass shooters that we're seeing have legally purchased their guns. And, you know, these are individuals that have, you know, numerous red flags in their backgrounds indicating that they were a threat to themselves and or others. You know, I don't think Aaron Alexis is any different. I think he's, you know, a textbook example of that. You know, there is so much in his background that should have set off numerous red flags and should have caused any civilized country to deny him, you know, gun purchases or gun ownership. You know, he had two previous arrests for gun-related offenses. In one of them, he fired a round through his apartment ceiling and nearly killed a woman upstairs from him. He said it was an accident. She swore to police it was intentional and that he had confronted her before about making noise. He also shot out a construction worker's tires on his car because he said the man disrespected him, and Alexis described that as an, quote-unquote, anger-fueled blackout. The mental illness that he was dealing with has been, I think, well-documented. You know, one of the scarier episodes occurred in Rhode Island where he ended up staying in three different hotels one night because he thought that he was hearing voices through the ceiling and floor. He thought people were sending microwaves at him. Police were actually called when he reached the third hotel and interviewed him and recorded that. But again, it wasn't something, given our current disqualifications for gun buyers, that would have stopped him from buying the shotgun he bought. And then finally, you know, the discharge from the military, from the Navy, that was an honorable discharge, but where there was a substantial record of misconduct and even drunkenness. I don't know how you could write a script with more warning signs that someone is potentially violent, but, you know, sadly, that's what constitutes a quote-unquote law-abiding gun owner in the United States at this point.
Ladd Everett, because the NRA is so powerful, in the wake of this mass shooting at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., NRA spokesperson Wayne LaPierre was on all the talk shows, and people were getting his comments on this horrendous incident. And he talked about the need for more guns, criticizing the lack of security, guards with more guns at the Navy Yard, and anywhere else there's a mass shooting incident, the NRA solution seems to be more guns. I wonder how you react to this kind of response, very predictable response from the NRA.
You know, I get the sense that LaPierre is almost running out of things to say. You know, he was on Meet the Press this weekend with David Gregory. First, LaPierre claimed to Gregory that there were no good guys with guns on the scene. Then when Gregory corrected him and said, listen, you know, he shot three people who were good guys with guns on that scene, and it took basically an army of, you know, federal, local, and God knows what of the law enforcement agents, 30 minutes to bring this guy down. Then LaPierre's argument was, well, we need even more good guys with guns on the scene. And David Gregory brought up the point that it seemed to be a sliding scale with LaPierre. First, after Newtown, he tells us we need one security guard in every school. Okay, now after a shooting on a military base where there was law enforcement everywhere, he's telling us, oh, well, that's not good enough on any military facility. Every military member should be carrying a gun at that facility. Well, you know, one of the fallacies of that that's so obvious is that prior to the minute he started killing people, Aaron Alexis was a good guy with a gun. Aaron Alexis had a concealed handgun permit from the state of Texas. So, you know, the whole thing is just utterly insane. LaPierre is well aware, number one, that more guns certainly don't make us safer because all the data shows otherwise. It shows that if you own a firearm, you're more at risk for firearm homicide and suicide. But then also he's well aware that with our current screening process, there's no way we can tell who's a good guy and a bad guy simply based on the fact that you may or may not have passed a gun background check.
Members of Congress have continually blocked any meaningful legislation to implement universal background checks or restrict the sale of military-style firearms or these high-capacity ammunition magazines. What is the public feeling about this legislation that's been blocked in both houses of Congress, and what can be done about it?
The public support for expanding background checks is still off the charts. It's still enormously high. It's still strong majority support, even in, you know, the reddest districts in America. You know, I saw an interesting poll today, too, taken a couple of years ago of federally licensed gun dealers who, again showed majority support for expanding some of the current disqualifications to, example, to apply to people who are alcohol abusers or who have violent aggravated assaults, but might be, let's say, misdemeanor convictions instead of felony convictions. I think across a wide political spectrum, there's a lot of support for doing a lot of things that we currently don't have on the books in our laws. You know, I think the key to all of this, obviously, is defeating the NRA in Congress in terms of weakening their power and exposing them. And then, you know, I think another part of this, and, you know, no matter what issue you feel right now you're dealing with it, is that, you know, we have a very dysfunctional Congress right now. Controversial issues are one thing, but, you know, this is a Congress that can't even handle things that are routine and non-controversial. Things that used to be taken care of, you know, via unanimous consent are now, you know, teeth-grinding, painful things to get done. So that's a problem, and, you know, that's a we the people thing we're going to have to solve through elections.
That was Ladd Everett, Director of Communications with the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Learn more about the groups advocating stricter gun regulation by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.